Is the microphone just there?
No, we've got one here.
I've got first. One. Oh, I'm Leslie right Martin. I'm from the Commonwealth Bank.
Hi, Leslie.
How are you getting on with the banks, Minister?
With my, well, I have a tough relationship with my personal bank. I'm not paid enough. But no, look, I think some of the banks have reacted well, Leslie. And it took a little prodding, with an electric prod occasionally, but I think the banks are starting to move because they understand that this represents a generational change. Having said that, there is a level of self-interest. The banks own the FPOS system. The FPOS system is based on a magnetic stripe card. And provided it makes money and it works well, and on the basis of the business case, you can say, well, it works well for us, then that's okay. But it doesn't work well for me. And the starting point has to be that we want to deliver more services to Australian consumers electronically, and with a magnetic stripe, the system doesn't do it for us. There are some we are actively looking at. Of course, the rollout of electronic claiming and Medicare is one. We'll set the protocols and what we want and then go to tender, but we might not go to tender. We might just issue licences. Depends. But I want the system to be more malleable to suit my needs. And we need smart card technology for that. Yeah.
Another question on the front there.
Yes, hi. My name's Belinda Contominus. I'm from the Sydney Morning Herald.
Hi, Belinda.
Leslie did ask a very similar question as to what I was going to ask. But the alternatives to FPOS, what are they and how much cheaper are they likely to be?
Well, we already have HIC online, and the transaction cost is very low. Very low. To deliver an expansion of... to deliver HIC online with steroids would be a challenging but not impossible task. And given that we are going to roll the access card out to perhaps 40,000 doctors and 15,000 chemists and every health professional in the country as a starting point, plus my 800 offices of Centrelink and Medicare and a range of others. That is a reasonable starting network upon which we could look at a competing payment system. It's not something that I'm attracted to in one sense because I don't think the government should be in the space of inventing infrastructure. Not that it's particularly sophisticated, but I'm quite opposed to the concept of developing in-house IT. My agencies already spend about $800 million a year on IT. I'm not looking to expand that budget. Having said that, if I continue to have challenges rolling out $100 billion each year, which is about 10% of GDP, then I have to look at ways and means of fixing that.
Do we have any other questions out there? Yep, we've got one on the left.
Joe, what's the public mood out there in terms of the product?
Look, I think overall people are supportive of the concept. They see it as evolution and not revolution, which is what I referred to in the speech. I think it is... it's a debate that has to be had. I've engaged Professor Alan Fells to head up a consumer and privacy task force. I'll be looking carefully at who makes submissions to Professor Fells because I think everyone should properly engage in the debate and it should not be captured by some sectoral interests promoting their own particular views. So one discussion paper is already out there. I'm not sure if the date is closed. No, it hasn't. 27th of July. Good on you, Leslie. And 27th of July is when the dates for submissions close, and I think it'd be very important that people engage in a robust debate about the benefits of the card. I might say, my view is, as I said in reference to that Video Easy story, the card will enhance privacy because it is more secure. According to Unisys, identity theft is the greatest fear of Australian consumers at the moment. And it's far easier to steal my identity today than it will be when we roll out the access card. So the public debate is positive, but we need more evangelists. We need evangelists for the technology. And I took a 6-gauge into a smart card conference the other day, and as you know, Bruce, you were there. And I said to the people around the room, I am not meant to be the evangelist for your technology. If you don't get off your seats and promote the technology, you will lose. You will lose. And if Australia pulls out of smart card technology at a governmental public sector level, then it'll be very difficult for the private sector to roll it out. So people become an evangelist for your technology. That's a great success of Bill Gates. He was the biggest winner, or one of the biggest winners. There's a lot of winners out of the internet. He was one of the biggest winners out of the internet. But he was an evangelist for the technology, not necessarily for his product. In fact, he morphed into the chief spokesman for the internet. And it surprises me that there is this vacuum in smart card technologists in Australia, that there are not people who are active enough in explaining the benefits of the technology to the Australian people, and there's an assumption that the Australian people just cop it. Well, you know, Australia is well behind the world in relation to smart card technology. We pride ourselves on being early users of new technology, but the rest of the world is passing us. And Malaysia is a good example, where it had one of the highest levels of credit card fraud in the world. They've introduced smart card technology in the financial system in Malaysia, with the net result that there has been something like a reduction of 700% in the level of fraud. So I don't think it's for Joe Hockey to stand up and spend his time and many hours promoting that message to the Australian people. I think the beneficiaries of the technology from a IT perspective should be there doing it. Well, it's a good question. I mean, a 64 KB chip, and I know there's a few tech heads around the room, that's about, I'm told, about 32 A4 pages of information. Am I wrong? Mm. Let's not have a debate about it, though. But, and a photo represents about eight pages, AKB, oh, well, maybe eight. Anyway. So there is a tremendous capacity to have stored information. Now, the way we're going to structure it is that we're going to have a central database supporting the card, and that database will sit separate to every other government database. Very important point. And that central registry will simply send a signal to various government agencies saying whether they're a person making a claim is entitled or not, and whether they are who they are or not. I do not want to have a single computer that has all of your records with the government. I do not want to have a single computer that has a whole lot of other records. Now, there will be the capacity for organ donor status to be recorded on the card. And there will be a number of other fields. For example, allergies. There are a number of people that find it a little demeaning to have to wear a wristband saying that they're allergic to penicillin or allergic to nuts or something like that, particularly young kids, when the information can be stored on the card. It could also be the case that you could have an emergency contact detail on the card. Now, I don't particularly want to be the safety deposit box for everyone's information in regard to that. In fact, I'm very attracted to people having their own private safety deposit box. So if they lose their card, misplace their card, we can switch the card off remotely, like a mobile phone. We can issue a new card. That new card will have the basic name, address, concession status, and so on. And then you can go to a private safety deposit box and download the information that you want to store on the card. And you can determine who has access to that, such as a designated health professional or an emergency services worker or whatever the case might be. So that is a very clear intention that I do not want a whole lot of mandatory fields. Having said that, there are obvious applications. Electronic prescriptions is a good area. And it is the bane of every chemist's life. And in fact, leads to a tremendous amount of misprescription that doctors provide chemists with illegible scripts. It is also the case that a lot of emergency misdiagnosis represents something like 14,000 deaths in Australia a year. You know, what's that, 14 times the road death toll? So anything we can do to help in relation to that is meaningful. There are a whole lot of protocols associated with that, challenging protocols. For example, who is able to write the data into the card, and how can it be verified that the data is accurate? And this is something we've had discussions with the AMA about, but quite frankly, it is not in Access Card Mark 1. It is not part of our initial... They're not on our first train. And the reason why they're not on our first train is because if we have to wait for every passenger to roll up, the train's going to be running late. And I am mindful that a lot of failed IT projects IT projects have reason to blame third parties and reason to blame function creep for the lateness of the program. Well, I want a very simple, straightforward card that has simple applications but with an extensive capacity to have additional functions.
Brian Stratton from CBA. You talk about that train. One of the key elements on that train is the GPs. How do you see them all getting on board? Because we know they're not really a huge take-up of the HIC online.
Yeah.
But to get across the line, we need them online.
Well, it's a good question. We are funded to put terminals on every GP's desk and in every chemist store. That's part of the $1.1 billion. And if I have to go down that path, I will. Now, again, we are looking for the best outcome, and if the private sector can roll out something better, then I'm there. And that's interesting because, you know, if we buy the hardware and if we write the software, we have to maintain it. And quite frankly... you know, as you just have to look at the New South Wales government to identify that governments that can be pretty slack at maintaining existing infrastructure. I don't think I don't. That's not the optimum outcome for me. Whereas something like 90% of GPs have an FPOS machine on their front desk. Although the GP I met the other day said he only takes cash. how about that? So, it is the case that most do. And that's why, again, we are currently running parallel programs for electronic claiming and Medicare. Of course, the access card will allow for electronic claiming and Medicare. So, if I can continue with the analogy of trains, I mean, at the end of the day, they'll get to the same station. However, the electronic claiming of Medicare, the train will roll out, I think, before the access card. Now, so we need compatible infrastructure, and in that regard, if the government does decide to roll out with the electronic claiming of Medicare in the next few months, then it will go to market first, and there is a compelling argument for it to be related to what the infrastructure GPs already have. I'm not so besotted with IT that I'm attracted to the idea that a general practice or even for that purpose a specialist practice should have two computers on the desk. I'm just not attracted to that because at the end of the day it just complicates the education, complicates the transaction, and it makes it more difficult for consumers.